two members of the team behind George Takei's new graphic novel, They Called Us Enemy. At 11:30, Words and Pictures talks with Aminder Dhaliwal, animation director for Disney TV Animation, and the force behind the webcomic. Women World has now been collected in book form by Drawn and Quarterly. And then up next, just about 2 minutes away from Voices from the Edge, with guest host Rochelle Dixon, she will talk to members of Rose City Antifa about recent actions in Portland, as well as the recent bill introduced by Ted Cruz.
KBOO Community Radio is a proud co-sponsor of the Rally Against War in Iran and Venezuela on Sunday, July 28th from 1 to 4 p.m. at the Salmon Street Fountain Plaza in Waterfront Park in Portland. This march and rally will primarily focus on the possibility of U.S. military intervention in Iran and Venezuela, but also calling attention to the use of sanctions as economic war. Again, that's the Rally Against War in Iran and Venezuela, and Sanctions Kill People Too, on Sunday, July 28th from 1 to 4 p.m. at the Salmon Street Fountain Plaza in Waterfront Park, downtown Portland. More information can be found at kboo.fm at the right side of the homepage under Community Events.
KBOO at the Clinton is a monthly film series that benefits your community radio station. This month, we'll screen Power of Community, How Cuba Survived Peak Oil on Thursday, August 8th at 7 p.m. at the Clinton Street Theater. When the Soviet Union collapsed in 1990, Cuba's oil supply was cut by more than half. This film tells of the hardships and struggles, as well as the community and creativity of the Cuban people during this transition away from a highly mechanized agricultural system to one using organic methods of farming and local urban gardens. Again, that's How Cuba Survived Peak Oil, Thursday, August 8th at 7 p.m. at the Clinton Street Theater, 2522 Southeast Clinton Street in Portland. More information can be found at kboo.fm on the right side of the homepage under Community Events.
Get up, stand up, stand up for your right.
Good morning, folks. Good morning, beautiful community. You are listening to KBOO and Voices from the Edge, and I'm your guest host, Rochelle Dixon, this morning. And this morning, I have some very special guests that are going to join us by phone. They're not actually in the studio today, but they're joining us by phone, and that is because they're going to protect their identity. So these are folks who are spokesperson for an affiliated group also known as Antifa. And so we're going to be speaking with Jill, who that is not her real name, and she's going to tell us a little bit about some of the recent events that have been happening in Portland, give us some information on what Antifa is, what it isn't, what she thinks of the new bill that Ted Cruz is proposing. So Jill, are you on the line?
I am. Hello.
Good morning.
Thank
Good
you so
morning.
Much for having us.
Well, thank you so much for coming or being with us today to be able to speak. There is so much confusion. Folks, I want to let you know that this is a live show today. If you want to call in with your questions or your feedback, please do. 503-231-8187. 503-231-8187 if you want to ask a question of me or if you want to ask a question of Jill. So Jill, I'm so glad that you're on the line with us today, because there's been so much confusion even among very politically active, very savvy folks about what Antifa is. I have a friend who I was on Facebook and I posted an article, and it was about some recent events downtown, a little bit of a brawl. And they said Antifa carries guns and a whole bunch of other things that I just didn't ever sense were true. And I wondered where that information came from. So if you go to Google and you type in Antifa, you get a whole bunch of information from a whole lot of different places, maybe not from Antifa. One of the headlines was Antifa brutally assaults journalists during Portland protest.
Right.
And I'm just like, okay, how about we get it from the horse's mouth, so to speak? How about if we get people who know the organization or the affiliation to speak on it. So Jill, tell me a little bit about how you became involved with the organization and about why you think it's important. But let's first start with you. What attracted you?
Sure. So at its heart, Antifa is a community defense tactic. It's a tactic that's been developed in response to various fascist movements, since the earliest 20th century. We define it as militant direct action to confront fascists. On a personal note, I became involved in order to defend my community. I represent someone who has various oppressed identities. I became involved, like so many folks do, because of this, in order to defend my communities from these violent hate crimes, violent hate speech from the far right.
How long has Rose City Antifa been in existence?
So Rose City Antifa is about 12 and a half years old. It became solidified as an organization around that time. Like I said, many individuals, and when we say, Antifa, we're talking about your neighbors, right? We're talking about just regular people, workers, students, like I said, those that represent oppressed and marginalized identities, came together in order to defend Portland from what was at the time a very vibrant neo-Nazi movement. Solidified around that time in the tradition of, like I said, earliest 20th century anti-fascist movements.
Okay. Was there any particular moment that folks were like, that's it, we've got to band together to do something about this incident? Was there any particular...
Let's see. I think that there was, I believe I may have Jack on the line with me now.
Jack is on the line, and okay, Jack is also... Yeah, you there, Jack?
Okay.
Welcome.
Yeah. Hi. Thank you. Thanks for having us. I'm so sorry. I got some terrible traffic.
Oh, you know what? I appreciate you being on the line. We were just talking to Jill, and I want to let folks know that this is a live show. You can call in 503-231-8187. Talking to Jack and Jill at this time. So it looks like we're not going to take live calls for a little bit. That'll give you a chance to actually state what you need to say uninterrupted, because I just don't think that what I've been reading, and I read a statement that I saw when I Googled Antifa, I'm not sure that it's accurate. I heard that Antifa keeps guns, that they're a terrorist organization. Jack, how would you define Antifa?
Oh, yeah, thanks. We are definitely not a terrorist organization. We describe ourselves as a community self-defense organization.
Mm-hmm.
Our tactics are to directly confront fascists wherever they are.
Okay.
And what you see in the news is really such a small part of what we actually do.
Mm-hmm.
Like, the Black Bloc is an important tactic for us to use, but we do tons of research. We do lots of writing. We do all kinds of outreach.
So what is the Black Bloc for folks that are not familiar?
The Black Bloc is, like, that's probably what a lot of people have seen on the news, where everyone's dressed in, where we're all kind of wearing black, mm-hmm. and covering our faces. And the reason that we do that is just for anonymity, essentially. The Black Bloc tactic has a long history, especially with, like, German far-left movements, or European far-left movements, rather.
Mm-hmm.
And this tactic developed to give cover to each other, so no one could be singled out by the police for arrest. That's basically why we do it, but we also are trying to preserve our anonymity in order to not be doxxed or harassed by fascists. And there has been so many examples of fascists showing up at people's houses and whatnot, and threatening people and their families when they are not anonymous, like the popular YouTuber Vic Berger. A lot of people might know about him. Mm-hmm. He's like a really funny and cool guy. But he made a video mocking the Proud Boys, and a Proud Boy named Kenny Lizardo, I believe his name is, showed up at his house to threaten him and his family. And things like that have happened all around Portland too. There's a bunch of activists who have had house visits from Proud Boys and the assorted fascists
in the area. I think that is a legitimate fear. So when you look up reporter assaulted in Portland on Google, the headlines are Antifa brutally assaults journalists during Portland protests. Portland journalist Andy speaks out, says Antifa behind attack. Journalist Fox News, journalist violently attacked by Antifa recalls complete anarchy. There's something called Reason.com. Antifa mob viciously assaults journalist Andy at Portland. And it just goes on and on. And it's National Review, Fox, Washington Examiner, not the Daily Caller, and definitely a bunch of it's not journalism. I don't know what you call it. It's a lot of propaganda. And what does Antifa say about that particular event where a journalist, Andy Ngo, is that how you pronounce his last name?
I believe so.
Yeah. So he came down to record some of the events that were happening in Portland, and I believe this was on June 29th. And and so he was assaulted. I'm not really sure who assaulted him. I wasn't there. Were either of you actually there on that day?
Just in the interest of preserving our anonymity, I'll just say that Rose City Antifa was there.
Okay.
So I guess to start out, it's kind of a stretch to call Andy Ngo a journalist. I would describe him as a far-right propagandist who has developed a special trolling technique where he inserts himself into situations where he's completely unwanted, like when Joey Gibson and his goons, along with Andy Ngo, attacked a bar where we were hanging out for May Day, having our, you know, leftist, fun, nice, chill May Day event. And these people showed up just to fight, and for no reason other than that. And a woman sustained a very serious injury. She got a cracked vertebrae from one fascist hitting her with a baton. At the June 29th event, as far as that goes, we're not really interested in making a distinction between good protesters and bad protesters. Despite what we may think about what happened to Andy Ngo in particular, as far as like the optics and strategy involved, but Andy Ngo had the best day of his life that day.
Well, you know, I have said, and one reason I wanted to chat with you is because I personally believe that some of the tactics of Antifa, though I respect the organization and what it's attempting to do, what I have a challenge with is that when you come out, the nuts come out from the other side, and the whole point is to bait you into doing something that they can put on television and news. This happens with groups like Westboro Baptist. So a lot of people say Westboro Baptist, the people who go there are just ignorant. That is such a misunderstanding of that group. So most of them are college educated, and you know what they do for a profession. They're lawyers.
Yeah, they're
lawyers. They get you to hit them or scream or do something or violate their civil rights by saying they can't be in a certain space, and then they sue you. And so one of my concerns, especially as a person of color, and we're going to get into that a little bit more, is that when they come out, and by no means am I a fan of the Proud Boys, when they come out and you come out, there's chaos in the street. I don't go downtown. None of the folks that I love go downtown. None of my friends do, because one, some of us are getting up in age. I don't run that fast, you know, and that's a reality. You know, I'm gonna have to go.
Sure. And that's fair.
I'm gonna have to lose a little weight. And folks, I'm not a good hungry person, but I'm gonna have to lose a little weight because I am not as quick on my feet as I used to be. And I do oftentimes use public transportation, or I go downtown. I want to be able to go where I want to go. But if Antifa is going to be there, or someone is having an event that is stressing civil rights, I know that potentially they'll show up, and it'll just be chaos. It's happened. So what do you think about the view that maybe you should just stay home?
Yeah. So, you know, one thing that we've seen throughout history is that resistance to fascism does not.
Looks like we lost someone there. Who do we still have on the line here? Jack? Jill? Oh, that's really interesting. Looks like we lost both Jack and Jill. But we had a question, and why we're getting them back on the line, with Robbie. And Robbie, I guess he wants to know a little bit about what happened on June 29th. And that would be good when we get them back on the line to learn a little bit more about that. For the time... Okay, so Robbie's on the line. So, Robbie, what was your question in your own words? Robbie? Are you there, Robbie?
You can't hear me?
Okay, I can hear you now, Robbie. What were your thoughts?
Yeah, basically, I was there on the 29th. I just wanted to bring up one thing to you really quickly.
Okay.
Which is the moment that we start to say, oh, we don't agree with the tactics that Antifa is using, you're now pointing the blame at the people that are on our side. I think that just kind of creates more infighting. I don't agree with the violence either. However, if we were just to let them, you know, march all over Portland, basically they would go into their trucks and start harassing people and doing these things. Another thing I wanted to bring up, before Patriot Prayer and the Proud Boys really came on into the city and doing these, and we started heading the counter protests with all these clashes, which you're referring to, of the violence, people used to block up before that because the police actually would. There was an instance back in 2013 where an individual had his bicycle, and a police officer said it hit him. 2 weeks later, they showed up at his place of work and arrested him. It's very clear the tactics that the police do, they're not on our side. So just to give more insight about why people block up, it's to hide their identity, not just from the fascists, but from the police as well. And so like that, because, you know, could you imagine having a police officer show up at your place of work and then arrest you for that? That's a clear tactic that they use to stop our side from doing this. Furthermore, with Andy No, I saw him get milkshake the first time around, and I thought he was crying, which was really strange because I didn't know who he was. However, later on, whenever people said he got attacked and had milkshakes thrown at him, one thing to put into perspective is on June 29th was the same weekend that I forget his name, the white terrorist who ran over a bunch of protesters. He got sentenced to life. But yeah. Meanwhile, Andy No was an individual who knew he was going to get attacked, and that's why he went. He went to get attacked, exactly as you said. They go out there, they try to bait us, they try to make us to, you know, yell and scream and then record us and make us sound stupid. But anyway, I just want to say, when it comes down to, we don't agree with those tactics, what's happening now is, you know, you are dividing the base, and a lot of these people are still on your side. I'm just trying to say, you know, it's like we got to stand in solidarity with these people, even if we don't agree with it. All we can do is what we know is right. And,
okay. Thank you so much for calling in. I appreciate it. Looks like Jack is back on the line. Hi, Jack. You with us? Looks like we lost Jack again. Well, that gives me time to take another call. You can call in at 503-231-8187. Yeah, so that number is 503-231-8187. 877. Looks like we had a couple technical difficulties, but I really want to hear what you have to say. And I'm going to give you an opinion here, which I try really hard not to necessarily do, because I want to hear all the opinions. I don't want to squash dissent. I really want to hear what one has to say. I like the idea that one can go out and participate in a group situation that allows to push back against organizations like the Proud Boys and white nationalists. And I understand the need for covering your face to not be doxxed, covering your face to not be sprayed with mace. I don't think that people who cover their face are always interested in wrongdoing. I think sometimes that's the way it's portrayed. But here's the problem. How do you avoid folks going into the crowd with their face covered that actually don't have the same goals and objectives? So they're covered their face. They look like they're with Antifa, but they're there to make mayhem. Jack, what do you say to that? Jack is on the line again.
Yes. Hi. Sorry about that. Like I said, we don't want to create a good protesters, bad protesters kind of dynamic.
Mm-hmm.
But we try to do a lot of outreach in our on social media to to iterate our goals for the protest and what we're there to accomplish, what we're there for, and tactics that we think will be effective. And it's a very complicated situation. But
yeah, because when you cover your face, what happens if the police infiltrate? Now, I say that because I spent some time at the James Lawson Institute, and James Lawson was the architect, civil rights architect of the lunch counter protests in, for example, Memphis, Tennessee. They worked very well, and one of the things that they had a rule about was not covering your face. And here's why. He had conversations with folks that he thought were part of the movement. Turns out, they weren't part of the movement. As it turned out, later on, one of them appeared in Memphis at the time Dr. Martin Luther King was assassinated. And he realized that these people had infiltrated the movement, and covering your face and these other tactics were allowing for people to easily infiltrate groups that weren't doing injustice. There were always folks there trying to start trouble. So what happens if I come down and I cover my face and you don't know who I am and I'm just doing terrible stuff in your name?
I guess as far as the police goes, well, not to be dismissive, but cops kind of stand out like a sore thumb in this context, in the context you were describing. I think it was probably a little more complicated, but in the Black Bloc, it's kind of easy to tell. But even so, the cops will infiltrate our movements, or will attempt to infiltrate and disrupt our movements no matter what, no matter how mild or legal our tactics are.
I see what you're saying. Okay, so you're saying that if you take the mask off, if you put the mask on, the police are going to infiltrate you either way. Looks like we have a caller on the line, Brian. Brian, are you still on the line?
Yeah, I'm here.
Okay, Brian, what was your comment or your question?
Yeah, one comment. I missed some of the discussion from the last few minutes because of the sound of this. But I had a question. And what do people involved with Antifa think about the nonviolent practices of Gandhi and Martin Luther King? Is that old news and not the way things are done now? And then the second thing is about verbiage, is about the name, actually, Antifa. And on its own, to me, it seems like a word that has a slight menace to it. It doesn't sound like a friendly, anti is a big part of it. And I fear that a lot of the people, maybe well-meaning people that tend to be more mainstream, hear that word as kind of menacing and scary and haven't taken it apart in their head, anti-fascist, and may not even understand the history of fascism. So I wonder if the name does not do any favors for the movement, because, you know, it seems like the right wing has their power over language. They use it so well, and it feels like the people more to the left don't seem to understand how to use language, and this seems like one of those situations.
What do you think, Jack?
I mean, the thing is, I think the reason why Antifa might have a scary connotation is because of the way we're portrayed in the media. I mean,
I'd agree.
You know, they're kind of neutral in an abstract sense, but yeah, the reason people might associate Antifa with something scary is just because of the way right-wing propaganda has worked against us. And
I would make a comment that before I understood what the name meant, I had a slight feeling of negativity to it until I realized, oh, anti-fascist. And so I really do kind of think it has just the word itself has a little bit of negativity, and I'm on their side. So I'm just saying this is constructive.
Yeah. Oh, I appreciate your thoughts. It looks like we have Jill back on the line, too.
All right. Thank you.
Jill, you still with us there?
Excuse me?
Yep. Okay. Sounds like you're there, Jill. So I appreciate you coming back on the line. Sounds like we're having a little bit of technical difficulty. But this is a very important conversation. I'm glad we're having a chance to have it. We're talking about how the sound of Antifa makes us quake in our boots, or some of us quake in our boots. We don't understand what Antifa is. Some people say it's an organization. Some people say it's an affiliation. What, again, for folks who are just tuning in, they can call in a bit at 503-231-8187. We're not going to take phone calls for the next couple minutes. We've got a couple guests on the line. They're not in the studio to preserve their identity. So, Antifa, what is it again? For folks who are just tuning in, we've got Rose City Antifa spokespersons on the line. What is Antifa? Do you want to start with that, Jill?
Yeah, absolutely. So Antifa stands for anti-fascist. It's a tactic that is a century old, beginning in Europe in the earliest 20th century. We define Antifa as a militant direct confrontation with fascists. Our organization organizes in the tradition of European anti-fascists. And in doing so, we, you know, look toward history at what has been successful, right, where we have seen tangible results and goals being met, and we employ, tactics based on that. I wanted to make comment on the caller asking us personally, right, because we don't speak for all anti-fascists,
sure,
right?
Sure, sure, I understand.
Yeah, absolutely. So first of all, we absolutely support those that represent, for example, throughout history, opposition to oppression, including the civil rights movement, right? Of course. But I did just want to point out that it's interesting to me that the two part of the question, one, categorizing Martin Luther King Jr. as, very dissimilar from the tactic of anti-fascism, and the other part being our name carrying like some rubbing people the wrong way, or it sounding overwhelming or scary or something. And I think that both of those things we can look toward mainstream media as how they have shaped people's perceptions of direct action.
I would agree. What are you doing about that? How are you getting your message out that this is about pushing back against fascism, that you're not promoting violence? At least that's what I hear you saying. But that direct action sometimes puts you in a position where you're defending yourself and you're defending what you feel is the rights of people who are marginalized. How do you get that message out? Because all I'm reading when I Google it is Fox News, The Daily Caller, and I believe, would we call The Daily Caller like a right-wing nationalist?
I say, like, in part, our blog, we would invite people to visit for, and again, speaking for our organization, we would invite people to visit rosecityantifa.org,
okay,
and click on articles. we have extensive coverage of the past years of our actions. And those articles detail the politics behind what, our politics behind the tactics being used. We're also very active on Twitter and
okay.
do our own part to, try and shape and help folks, be educated about who we are.
Okay. And it looks like we have a call on hold, and I think I know what's going on here. I think if I take this call, one of you's gonna drop off. I hate to say that, but it looks like that's been the pattern. So if I lose one of you, please call back. So it looks like we have Ron on the line. Oh, no, it looks like Ron hung up. So I waited a little too long to get to him. But Ron, if you call back, I'll definitely get you on the line quickly. So do you have... beyond a blog, do you have like a podcast where you talk about the principles of anti-fascism? Is there anything that we can listen to, or is it primarily just the blog?
It's mainly, our main media is the blog and Twitter, but there's plenty of podcasts. It's Going Down has a good podcast. Then they cover us pretty substantially.
It's Going Down. Okay, so that's a podcast. Is that made in Portland or in Oregon or?
No, actually, I don't know where they're out of, but they're a national sort of outlet.
Okay. Okay, great. So
I
want to ask you something else, but before I want to say that I definitely am in the mindset of the peaceful protest, the MLK protest, the Gandhi Salt Walk. Takes about 3.5% of the population to rise up and to make huge sweeping changes. We've seen some changes in Puerto Rico, but one of the things that you will not know or not remember if you're not a certain age is if you go back and look at what was said about Martin Luther King at the time, you will find some horrible things that were said.
Yeah,
and
absolutely.
His rating of popularity, his poll of what people thought about him, favorable, was 7%. 7%.
Yeah.
So he's been very much whitewashed to put out that, if you just follow Martin Luther King and not block sidewalks. We know Martin Luther King blocked sidewalks. We know Martin Luther King was a threat, which is why he was assassinated. By the way, what many people don't know is his mother, too, was assassinated. So let's not leave that out, that black women have been on the forefront of anti-fascism for a long, long time. So let's talk about that, because when I see Rose City and anti-fascist, I never see people of color. What is going on there? Are you selectively choosing people? Or are they selectively not choosing you? What is going on there? Can I be an anti-fascist?
Yes, please.
Absolutely.
it sounds like you already are. It's a complicated thing. And honestly, I don't have a great answer to the question of why you don't see more people of color in the block. We would love to have that happen, but mainly because we would love to have more people in general. And we want to have more friends.
Okay.
But I think maybe part of it is because Antifa sort of comes from a response to European fascism.
Mm-hmm.
So it's in this that kind of a tradition, and also it kind of emerges out of like the punk scene, and it's sort of been historically responsive to fascist infiltration in these subcultures. Which tend to be white at times.
Okay, and we do live in the Pacific Northwest, in Oregon, and a lot of our community is indeed white. So that's another thing. I would like to say that I think another factor at play is simply because people of color oftentimes feel like they're easier to pick out, because they are. And that will encourage police violence. So if I were to go downtown and stand behind or next to 100 white Antifa individuals, I might be the one that is targeted because I'm just easier to spot. So that happens a lot. And because as a community, we recognize this, we tend to stay away from areas where we figure we might have trouble. So that might be hindering your recruiting. It sounds like you're willing to take folks that subscribe to the values and are willing to do the work. So that clears that up.
Absolutely.
About that. So let's talk about Ted Cruz. Now, I want to say, please, Ted Cruz, stay where you're at. Oregon does not need more folks coming in from outside communities and determining what should be happening in Oregon and Portland. I think that we can do that just fine for ourselves. But Ted Cruz has this bill out, and this bill wants to declare groups like Antifa a terrorist organization. Have you read about that?
Yes.
Okay.
Right.
Yeah.
So, I mean, the rationale for this resolution is really just a manufactured threat, right? And I'll let Jack weigh in on this as well, but the 98% of ideological-driven murders for 2018 were those that represent far-right ideologies.
Yes,
and
you're
that's
definitely
not
correct.
A left-wing fact, right? Exactly. And so I think that information stands on its own as, just speaking toward the reputability of this bill.
Okay. And I want to put you, have you on, hold that thought for a second. We've got Bill, who's going to be on hold. Hopefully I don't lose you, but we're going to take this call. If I do lose you, please call me back. I want to hear what folks out there have to say. So, Bill, are you on the line? We're going to get Bill on the line. He's coming.
Hello?
Hello, Bill. Thank you for calling in. What were your thoughts? What did you have a question about?
Well, my question is, first off, I'm, a bit of a liberal, and I'm not a big fan of the Proud Boys or Joey Gibson coming to town, but, I feel they come to town, looking for confrontation, looking for that, 15 seconds of footage that they can, hopefully go viral for them. If Antifa or some of their groups were to just not show up, would it just, consistently not show up, would they eventually just go elsewhere seeking attention and it would just kind of fizzle out altogether?
Bill, I appreciate that thought. That was one of the first questions we had. So I'm going to let them answer that question while you are off air so we can take another caller. So listen in for the answer.
Oh, and you know what? I'm actually still here.
Okay, Jill. Great. Yeah. Who wants to answer that question? Because it's a question I ask.
Yeah, I think I dropped off earlier when I was answering a similar question, and I appreciate the question, caller. I hate to reiterate myself so much, but if you look toward history, right, and this is what we do, right, we use information based on history. Fascists, for one thing, often don't want attention drawn to their organizing. That's something that we've seen over and over. I also think that you can see throughout history that resistance to fascism does not increase interest in fascist views, right? So people organizing in opposition to racism and opposition to homophobia and anti-Semitism that these far-right organizers such as the Proud Boys represent, we believe that us showing up is important toward a larger goal, right? So that's a really important aspect of that.
Okay, perfect. Getting a little feedback from you, Jill. Maybe you're on speakerphone or getting feedback from the radio. Maybe you can turn it down a little bit. Jack is also on the line. And I want to get back to that other question. If you want to call in, the number is 503-231-8187. We're going to listen to Jack and Jill for the next 5 minutes. So if you have any questions about what they're saying, give us a couple minutes to go through their responses to this. One of the things that we were talking about before the caller came on was that Ted Cruz is trying to call Antifa a domestic terror group. Now, first of all, there is no system to declare any group a domestic terror group. I'm concerned because the group that is fighting the Proud Boys in our community is being defined as a hate group because they're trying to fight hate groups. So I'm really confused about that. Second of all, Ted Cruz is not an Oregonian, and he's a Republican, and he's diving into the fight against the threat of domestic terrorism now, not when Timothy McVeigh started it, not when the militia started, not with the neo-Nazis, not with the skinheads. He's starting with Antifa, and I'm very concerned about that. What do you have to say to that, Jack or Jill?
Hi. Yeah, it seems pretty transparently an attempt to criminalize all dissent because, as you said, there's no official legal definition of domestic terrorism, and nor is there any sort of definition offered of Antifa. So it's kind of just something they will be able to call anyone, and it's and also, as I understand, it's a resolution, so it doesn't actually produce anything. It's just going to be used as a wedge in the next election. Like, these senators failed to condemn domestic terrorism or something like that.
I understand.
And,
yeah.
Yeah. And it's just a huge gift to fascists and the far right. And
That's what I see it as. And yeah. I see it as further dividing the nation. So you mentioned something very important about it being a wedge. You mentioned that it is just going to be used against anyone, and again, it's broad enough that it could be used against a variety of people who are doing any kind of activities to organize, however peacefully. If someone comes in and gets hurt as a result of their involvement with a counter protest, then they could be declared a domestic terror group. So Antifa has never killed any people. I looked that up, so this is not propaganda. There's no domestic terror designation. Organizations like KKK and the neo-Nazis and the skinheads definitely have been convicted of violence and even murder. So to start with Antifa seems like it's disingenuous. So the far right is a very significant threat in our community and around the United States. So they're not coming for the far right. They're just coming for the defense. That leads me to a thought. I had a conversation today on Facebook, and it was about dissent. And call me crazy, but I welcome dissent. I welcome your rage. I welcome your well-placed rage about things we should never take lying down. I am very happy that there are people who do run fast. I don't. But I'm very happy that there are people who are willing to put their bodies on the line where other people can't. So the diversity of tactic things, to me, doesn't the violent part doesn't appeal to me. I don't think it's effective, but I do believe in self-defense. So there we are with that. That's my thought process on there. I am still a student of the world. I am willing to be educated on what I don't know. And I don't know a whole lot about the goals of Antifa when it goes to these marches, so our protests. So the last one was July 29th, and you mentioned that Antifa was there. And what was the goal of being present? I believe it was Joey Gibson who was leading that event.
That event was led by a group of Proud Boys on one hand, and Haley Adams, who is a Patriot Prayer member and a white nationalist, on the other hand. Haley was the one who had gathered in Pioneer Square, and the Proud Boys were marching along the waterfront. And in that day, we won on the streets, like, pretty unequivocally. The Proud Boys did not get to have the march they wanted to. They weren't able to come anywhere near us because they were protected by the police the entire time. But if they had, it would have been a disaster for them. And Haley's rally was just as pathetic as all of her events are. So was in the media, we kind of got a black eye, but actually in the streets, we pretty much definitely won that day.
Okay.
And that, and the reason that the state protects fascists or enables them, like, at every single demonstration, you can see the police are facing us, not them, and there's like no clearer image to elucidate the dynamic that's taking place. And the reason why Ted Cruz is going after Antifa instead of the actual terrorists in this country is because their agenda more or less coincides with the state. Sometimes it's what they want is more violent or like an accelerated version of what the state already wants. But in a lot of ways, they are not a threat to the state, and we are, because our goals are a society that's free of oppression and exploitation.
Okay, perfect. So Andy Ngo was at the event, and he is, by his definition, a journalist, and he came to record some events. He was assaulted. He put up a GoFundMe account and had a couple hundred thousand dollars, which I believe ultimately was his goal, and I would like to see him stop getting money. Now, I'm going to have you hold your thoughts on that, and Mike is on hold, and so we're going to lose Jill for a moment, and we're just going to have Jack and Mike on the line, because this is the way this technology is working for us today. So, Mike, you're going to be on the line with us in just 5 seconds. So, Mike, you're on the line?
Oh, yeah. Thank you, KBOO.
Okay. What do you want to say, Mike?
Well, I'm a longtime listener and member.
Appreciate that.
I'm not a part of any organization, but, you know, I was young in the 80s, escorting, kicking skinheads off the dance floor at the shows, at music shows back in the day.
Nice.
And I've got some... loving empathy for all people, I hope, and I'm trying to deal with my own temptation for lashing out. Gosh, it's really been hard lately because it's just coming up, and that's my story.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so I don't want to go down there because I, you know, just like I don't want to join the military because, you know, I might kill someone, you know, or I don't carry a pistol because, you know, chances are I can avoid a bad situation if I'm not feeling crazy with a pistol and crazy brave. So I don't have the pistol, so I don't shoot someone. But that's just my story. Okay, the interesting story was, I know I'm taking time, but I was literally across the street from Ainsworth Elementary the evening before, working, you know, cleaning windows, some maintenance, house maintenance, stuff like that. So somebody put up flyers, and they were fantastic. 8.5 by 11 white flyers, just instructing and warning people that, hey, there's these fascists coming to the neighborhood, and they're going to do a demonstration around the Ainsworth Elementary School, and Ted Wheeler was mentioned as well, because they actually showed a picture of their propaganda picture of the female, the bleach blonde female speaking
in front
of a flag or something. Yeah, and that was incredibly helpful. And then the other little flyers that's had red warnings and stuff. And about halfway through the day, I was back out taking a break at my vehicle. I noticed the flyers were ripped off.
Oh, wow. That's that's telling.
So,
I've seen swastikas on the sidewalk.
Yeah, they're out there doing scoping the day before, or before. So the more volunteers and people they have out there, and all of a sudden I was forced into a volunteer situation. As I was working that day, every person who walked by, family or otherwise, I was letting them know, hey, this is what's been going on, this is what's happening, these flyers are missing now, here's a picture of it, bearing witness is so important.
Thank you, Mike, for being on.
I've
got another caller I gotta take. Boris. Boris, you on the line with us? Boris, are you still there?
Yeah, I'm here.
Yeah, hi, Boris. So you're on the line with Jack, and I'm Rochelle Dixon, and we're talking about the events of June 29th. We're talking about Rose City Antifa. We have a couple folks that are affiliated. If you want to call in, other folks want to call in, the number is 501-231-8187. And Boris, what do you have to say, or what are your questions?
I have two questions. First question, what is the Antifa consensus on the boycott, divestment, and sanctions movement? Second question, does Antifa receive any support of any kind from AIPAC, the powerful Israeli lobby?
No, we definitely don't receive support from AIPAC. All of our support is just from community members. We get small donations here and there, and we're definitely not sponsored by any NGO or nonprofit or anything like that.
Okay, how about the boycott, divestment, and sanctions movement?
It's hard for me to say what a consensus would be, but personally, and I think definitely in Rose City Antifa, we unequivocally support BDS. Hello?
All right. Thank you.
Yeah.
Okay. So we're back talking about the events, which were a counter protest against the Proud Boys, and it looks like Patriot Prayer was out there, and it looks like there were some milkshake problems. So let's talk about the milkshakes. Now, I know that you're not responsible for the milkshakes, right? But it was such a huge event of that day, and news spread fast. So what happened was there were vegan coconut milkshakes that were handed out from a milkshake truck. And the milkshake truck was sponsored by a group that was not related to Antifa. That's correct, right?
Pop Mob are allies, definitely.
Okay. So you were aware they were going to hand out milkshakes?
Yes.
Okay. So honestly, I totally would have went down for the milkshake, the vegan coconut milkshake. I'm just saying, you know, I'm kind of petty, and like, if I'm going to protest, I'm definitely going to celebrate. I'm going to dance. I'm going to do all those kinds of things just to say, hey, I'm still here. But word got out that there was cement in the vegan coconut milkshakes. Mm-hmm. And I believe the first organization that was reporting that was the Portland Police. Is that correct?
Correct.
Yeah.
Yes, that's correct.
That caused a whole bunch of mayhem. I don't believe they retracted that statement till today.
Oh,
they did?
No, that's I don't believe it's still to this day that they've made that statement, and they've held fast to that. So just a couple days ago, the police lieutenant said he firmly believed the milkshakes thrown during the June protest contained some form of concrete. Now, I saw folks drinking that milkshake, and I saw it poured from a pitcher. So I just happen to know cement doesn't pour that way. I've worked with cement. It's very thick. It's very heavy. And it has a bit of a color to it. It doesn't at all pour like a coconut milkshake. So I'm concerned about the misinformation that is out there. What I believe is misinformation. I've been told it was a coconut ice cream, cashew milk, and rainbow sprinkles. Now, that does not sound deadly to me at all. So what are your feelings on coconut ice cream, cashew milk, and rainbow sprinkles?
Full support across the board.
Okay. So this was popular mobilization, and that was their protest. I think in other places we've seen flash mobs as a form of protest and celebration of the viability of communities and the pushback against anti-fascism. What do you think about tactics? What are the variety of tactics that you feel are worthy of people participating in? Do you take a position on any of that? Do you support any of the other movements that are out there?
Yeah, any and all, we support a variety of tactics. We believe that any resistance to fascism is important. There are many different ways to support, whether it's boosting social media information to combat some of the disinformation, like you were talking about. You know, whether it's showing up and having a dance party, whether it's you know, doing research on the location of dangerous white supremacists in communities and informing those communities of their presence. We support any and all resistance to any and all ethical resistance to fascism.
Okay, I appreciate that. Go ahead.
The concrete milkshake is a perfect example of the far right and the police colluding and their willingness to believe just really anything if it enables their if it enables them to proceed with their agenda and enact violence in our communities.
Well, in that way, that statement very much aligns with racism and how mm-hmm. racism works. Mm-hmm. So the perception that Antifa is a terrorist organization means that if you're handing out milkshakes, there must be some dubious reason for the milkshake being handed out. Just like racism, you know, you see a black person having a barbecue and there must be, you know, some nefarious reason why a person is having a barbecue. Did you hear about the poor gentleman who was arrested for stealing a hospital equipment because he was told to walk around the hospital? Sometimes they do that to tell you to get up and move around. So when mm-hmm. you have them in your mind that an organization is a terrorist organization, everything they do becomes terrorism, including the milkshake issue. Now, we had, it looks like we have another caller on the line, so it looks like we're going to lose someone again, and this time it's going to be Jack, because I have to be equitable. We dropped Jill off the line last time. So it's gonna be enough. Jack now, and Robbie's on hold. So Jack, we'll talk to you in a minute, and we're going to take this call from Robbie right now. Robbie?
Yeah, I just wanted to say, mm-hmm. hi, can you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you.
I just wanted to say the milkshake has a name. It's called Lactose the Intolerant, which obviously it's a vegan milkshake, so yes. I don't know how much lactose it is. But I believe the idea behind it was, you know, obviously in England where they milkshaked a far right wing individual, in Australia they cracked an egg on one of their heads. These are the things that we're doing. These are the tactics that people are doing, because if you look at the right, which totally gets blown over, is, again, you know, on that same weekend, June 29th, that individual was sentenced to life for running over protesters.
Mm-hmm,
and so if the media can characterize us as being the violent ones, you know, they have to fabricate these stories of a cement milkshake, because that's what it is. But that's why I think, and I stress this so much, that even if you disagree with the tactics of them, we have to recognize that, first off, they are on our side and they're the ones taking the stand. And second off, if there are agent provocateurs, there are police that are infiltrating this, that means that we just need to know that these situations are going to happen and go forward with it. But to criticize it, I think we lose our base and we lose momentum when we start arguing about what tactics other individuals are doing. But mm-hmm. I just wanted to say lactose the intolerant is a pretty fun word to say. So.
Well, I tell you, I definitely approve of vegan milkshakes. And now that I have the recipe, I'm going to make one.
Good.
I don't know if I'm going to add sprinkles on top or not, but mm-hmm. I definitely am going to try the cashew milk coconut combination. I've never done that
diversity
before.
Diversity of tactics.
That's right. I would definitely like to go down and have maybe some bagpipers drown out some of the hate messages that are being had, being said. I would so love to form a band just to not have to hear what they have to say, because they're recruiting
love
that
it.
Way. So there is another caller. We've got time for just one more caller. This hour has gone so fast. So we mm-hmm. have, it looks like it's Jack on hold. Well, that's perfect, because we can.
Oh, good.
Yeah. So, Jack, we are just coming up on the end of an hour. We've got time for you to tell folks about how they can get in contact with you, how mm-hmm. they can listen in. I know that you said there's a blog. I think you said there's Twitter. Maybe you want to give your Twitter handle. So what are your final thoughts on Antifa and how folks can align with your vision and help create a safer environment for all of the citizens of Portland?
Yeah.
Big question, I know. And you've got one minute.
Okay. Well, please visit our blog, and if you see anything that seems like white supremacist or far-right activity in your area, please send us an email at fight_them_back@riseup.net. We have a phone number that you can call. It's just a voicemail. It'll go straight to voicemail, but please leave us any tips. Please give us detailed tips, that like the time and location and the description of what you saw, as many details as you can. It's very, very helpful. It helps us so often. It's really unbelievable. And show up on August 17th. There's another one of these fascist rallies happening, and this one is a little bit troubling. There's been a lot of noise on social media about it from the far right. And so August 17th, please show up.
Jill, any final thoughts? 30 seconds.
Yeah, absolutely. So on Twitter, we're at Rose City Antifa. The blog, again, is rosecityantifa.org. You can contact us through both of those mediums. I just want to reiterate, we're regular people, right? We're in your community, we're your neighbors, we're workers, we're students, and we invite a diversity of tactics. And again,
perfect.
There's strength in numbers. So please show up when you can.
Thank you so much for being on the show today. I appreciate you clearing up all of the inconsistent messages that we've seen in the news and
thank
that
you.
We heard about town. So thank you so much, and I hope
thank
to
you.
Hear more from you in
yes.
the future. You have
thank
a
you
great day.
Us.
You're welcome.
Yes,
you're
you
so
too.
Welcome.
Thank you so much.
Bye-bye. Coming up next, we'll have Teresa Mitchell. So listen in and stay tuned.
Get up, stand up. Stand up for your right. Get up, stand up. Stand up for your right.
KBOO Portland, good morning. It is 9 o'clock, and Teresa Mitchell is up next with Press Watch, her weekly look at the news you're not supposed to know. At 10 o'clock, Heather McCoy and the Heather McCoy Show. At 11 on Between the Covers, Jenna Yokoyama interviews two members of the team behind George Takei's new graphic novel, They Called Us Enemy. At 11:30, it's Words and Pictures, talking with Aminder Dhaliwal, animation director for Disney TV Animation and the force behind the webcomic Women World, has now been collected in book form by Drawn and Quarterly. Don't forget that you can hear all of these programs after they air on KBOO.fm or on iTunes and Google Play. All of these KBOO programs are made possible by member support. If you'd like to become a member, go to KBOO.fm and use your mobile app and click on Donate. Press Watch is next.
KBOO Community Radio is a proud co-sponsor of Radiance of Resistance, a night with Jana Jihad on Monday, July 29th at 7 p.m. at the First Unitarian Church in Portland. Jana Jihad Tamimi, 13-year-old Palestinian activist, began recording, reporting on, and sharing her lived reality from the age of 7, shortly after two of her relatives were killed by Israeli forces. Jana now enjoys a global following, serves as ambassador of the South African Palestinian Children's Initiative,